Welcome to Straightforward, the audio presentation of North Group Consultants, designed to provide you with direction for your future. In this edition, Roger welcomes his guest, Daryl Lisy, our newest partner at North Group. Roger and Daryl will be discussing Daryl's leadership journey. Now from North Group Consultants, here's Roger North.
When we started this business back in 1997, one of the things that was really important to me from the beginning was that we build an organization and lead it with the principles that we intended to share with our clientele. There's an old saying that goes something like this: those who can do, and those who can't teach. Well, I guess there's a little humor in that, and I whip it out every once in a while with some of my teacher and professor friends, and they, of course, take appropriate umbrage to that. But teaching is a big part of our role. On a more serious note, I always felt that it was extremely important that as we build an organization, that we avoid hypocrisy. And by that, I meant that the commitments, the processes that we help to install in organizations as they choose to work with us and grow, that we ought to be observing those very consistently and from a high level of commitment in our own organization. And of course, one of the areas in which we've been privileged to do quite a bit of work over the last couple of years, it's clearly a growing area of our firm, is that of guiding organizations through leadership and ownership transitions, the business of succession. In 2002, it was really the first opportunity that I needed to start thinking about succession. My original business partner, Laura Shantz, chose to leave the firm in 2002. And so it challenged me to think about a number of important questions about the future, not only my own future, but the future of the firm that I hope to continue to build. And of course, one of those questions was, did I want to be the sole owner of this business, or did I think it was a better situation to have partners? And I really wrestled not long at all with that question. I knew I would be better off with partners. Another question was, well, how long do I want to own and lead this thing, and what would be my method for bringing other people into that process? And so for the last 5 years, I've had the privilege of growing the firm and being in a position of starting to play out some of the philosophies that I put in place back in 2002. And today, it's a real privilege to tell all of you that I have with me today the third partner of North Group Consultants, my good friend and associate of 5 years, Daryl Lisy. Daryl, welcome to Straightforward.
Roger, thanks for the invitation to be a part of Straightforward.
My pleasure. And one of our intentions today is to simply let all of our friends and associates know that Daryl has become a partner at North Group and that we're most proud of that. And that secondly, that we have gone through a fairly methodical and intensive process to figure out the best way to bring you in as a partner, Daryl, and to give you opportunity to choose whether that's a good thing for you and your future, a good investment for you to make from a financial standpoint, and a good long-term commitment for you to make to the type of business that we're in and to this particular firm that Dennis and I are so pleased to be a part of, North Group Consultants. So maybe you could talk just a little bit, Daryl, about our five-year journey together at North Group Consultants, a little bit about how that got started, and some of the questions maybe you needed to ask yourself as Dennis and I approached you about the possibility of becoming a partner.
Well, I remember from early on, as we talked about the possibility initially of me joining the firm and taking a look at the type of work that you were doing and the direction in which you were headed, and how perhaps my skills and abilities and my temperament, who I was, could not only fit into the organization, but also to help to advance it. And so as we walked through that initial conversation, it became more and more clear to me that this was something that I felt was part of my future in terms of employment, but also was a great match for where my heart was and what I wanted to see accomplish in my life through the work that I was doing. And so we were able to begin that relationship back in 2002. And I remember early on, we had some level of conversation about the possibility of partnership. And I thought that the timing was good in terms of, even as we've gone through these last number of years, for me, it was not necessarily primarily a financial conversation.
Although there's a financial element to it, it's just not primary.
Absolutely.
Right.
But for me, it was, is this something that I can not only mirror the values of the organization, but can I help advance it?
Can you advance them or extend them? Yeah. And
absolutely.
Certainly you have done that. And I thank you for it, really.
Well, it's been a real joy being a part of that. And for me, as we progressed along that conversation, in many cases, and I often talk to my clients about this, who are the non-equity owners in your
mm-hmm.
business?
Yeah, great question. Great question.
It's a good question, and it was a great question for me during that period of time. It wasn't at the forefront in terms of the financial conversation. It was really about those kinds of things that I would look at and say, do I feel like I'm an owner? Do I act like I'm an owner? All of those conversations that one has with oneself. And even in the context of the organization, am I mirroring that?
It's so interesting that you say that, Daryl, and I don't want to get off track here with your process, but I just put in the middle of the conversation here that so many times when I begin conversations with clients that are sent to us to talk about starting a transition process, and maybe it's an owner that's reached a certain age or a certain number of years, and he wants to know how to start to walk through a process of identifying successors and owners, a lot of the time, the question, the reason that the person there is driven not by an internal desire to say, I've got to give opportunity to these non-equity owners in the business, but rather by a sense of urgency that I've got to do something. Mm. And then as you get into the conversation, you realize, hey, some of the groundwork to align people, to help people understand what the heart of the business, whatever that business might be, really is, to understand the impact of the core values of that business, whether written or unwritten, that all of those things really need to be in alignment before we ever really begin a conversation about the legal and financial transaction, which in many cases can be quite complicated, methodical, time-consuming, but they're really premature in our view.
Absolutely.
Prior to having those other types of conversations, the beauty of your situation from my standpoint as a majority owner was that was so clear from the beginning. And of course, it was very much a part of the conversation that you and I had back in the earlier part of the year of 2002 when we first began to talk about being in an employment relationship together. It's just so clear to me that the core values of our business not only made your heart beat a little faster, but that you were somebody that could help us extend those values, which has been extremely important to me as we've brought different people on in the firm, that hopefully I'm working toward embodying those, but I don't feel I can do that by myself. And you've helped me understand that in many ways. And it's just a reflection for me as we're talking not just about North Group, but about the types of things that we work with other people. When people are sent to us, I feel so privileged if I or one of our colleagues at North Group is the first person in on that conversation. Because we get to ask the questions about, well, why do you want to do this? Where would you like to see your business head? Who are the people in your business that are adding value to it, that embody the values of the business, that give a great value proposition to your customers, that take care of things when you're not there? Who are those people? And they're the people we ought to be talking about. And if we don't have any of those people yet, let's have a different conversation.
Yeah.
It's just such a privilege to be in early in those conversations with people about the possibility of transitioning their business to somebody else, be it a year later or 10 years later.
Well, and I think you bring up an excellent point in terms of even some of my experience with our clients has been that this ownership transition conversation is viewed more so as an event than it is a journey, than it is a process that we want to engage in that will ensure at the end of that, when the event part of it comes to fruition in terms of the legal and the financial, that we've accomplished what we wanted to. We don't need to look at that transition out of fear. But we can do it in much more of a confident way by beginning that process and that journey when at all possible.
And it's a privilege, too. You make such a great point about an event and a process to help people understand what ought to come first.
Well, here is a conversation that I remember with an individual I was speaking with, a potential client, about ownership transition. And the conversation was around a certain way to transition it financially.
Mm-hmm.
And I could tell that in that conversation, at one point I just asked the person, I said, let me ask you, I said, what do you want? And he was quiet, and the response back was, I don't think I want to do this just on a financial basis, just based on that criteria. There's something more that I want to extend into this company and something more that I want to give to it for its future in terms of people and interactions and relationships. And it was just an interesting conversation that on one side there were influences that were saying, this is merely a financial conversation. But for him, he clearly understood that it was more than that and wanted more than that.
And was that person that you're thinking of, were they in a position where that kind of extra value already existed in his firm and he just wanted to articulate it out? Or do you think he needed to go through a process of building that in?
Well, in this particular case, there was a process that had begun at least on the outskirts, if you will,
okay,
of the conversation that he wanted to become much more intentional about it.
Yes.
As he was looking to the transition, which for him was probably about 3 years away, but realized that the conversation, as we talked to him, was financial now. And he said, there's much more that I need to be engaging in before we get to that point.
Now, that's good thinking on that gentleman's part.
Oh, absolutely.
Back in your first year of employment, I think you mentioned earlier that we began something of a broad conversation anyway about the possibilities of ownership. And I don't remember exactly what that was or exactly what the context might have been for that. But was that kind of conversation that long ago helpful to you in terms of maybe the middle of last year when Dennis and I came along and said, hey, let's get more intentional, let's put a process together? Was that kind of background helpful to you? And if so, in what way?
Absolutely. It's interesting, as you said, that you don't remember the specifics of the conversation. I remember a lot of them.
Oh, really?
Absolutely. It started out with a walk in the park, Central Park.
Literally, right?
Literally.
That I do remember.
With you and Dennis and walking down one of the roads. Just talking about the future of the firm and the possibilities on a broad scale, and then what could that mean for me specifically?
Yes.
It was a very natural conversation. Mm-hmm. That was the thing that I remembered the most about mm-hmm. it, that it wasn't mm-hmm. contrived. I didn't feel like I needed to open up doors that weren't allowed to be opened, nor did I feel that the two of you as partners in this business were in any way reticent to talk about them with me.
Mm-hmm.
So it was very significant in terms of thinking about what the future may hold. It wasn't a next year conversation or the next year. And obviously, as we've gone to this point, it was a number of years. But it made this conversation, as we began to be more intense about it last year,
yes,
very, very natural.
Mm-hmm.
And just an extension of what had begun literally back in 2003.
Obviously, as you get closer to actually putting a date on a transaction, things about the conversation become more specific. And we have to talk about terms and dollars and timing and percentage of ownership and shares and all those sorts of very specific things. And we talked those things through and hopefully gave you clarity around those things so that you clearly understood where we were headed and what the financial cost of that was. But what were some of the conversations that you carried home to Janet with respect to this choice that you were being given?
The process for us was one that was very comfortable. Primarily, the question that I had, as Janet and I talked about it, was, is this an organization that supports who I am and in turn I can fully support its mission and its values? And is it a good fit for me personally? Is it a good fit for us as a family? The financial question really was one that was off to the side.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, it was going to play a part at some point in time. But for both of us, it was an absolute resounding yes.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, for me, one of the primary questions that we had and that I always had from the beginning.
Certainly, the practical question of, is this a financial investment that we want to make at this point in time? And in our case, it's not the size of business that question would beg for some people. But nevertheless, it is an important question.
Right.
And I find so often that becomes a very early in the conversation, in my view, too early in the conversation, a primary question. Can I afford this? What does this mean for other financial goals that our family may have? And I think those are extremely important questions, but I think they're a second layer of the conversation. And it's been our privilege as we walk, particularly with families, but also through other organizations that are not family in terms of ownership, but are privately held. And there's questions about succession and questions about multiple owners. Is, can we have a conversation first about quality of life? Can we have a conversation first about alignment of values? Can we have a question first about legacy? Can we have a question first about whether everybody's going to find their place in this future, particularly when their place is a different place than what the present holds? And boy, we just find it a privilege, I think, Daryl, to be in the middle of those conversations with people that actually care about each other, that they care about their customers, and they care in a very real way about the legacy of their business and the little corner of the world in which they might be called to make the world a better place. We'd love to continue to be engaged with clients out there that are serious about those types of conversations for their own business. And this represents very much of a growing part of our consulting practice. On our webpage, we state three bullet points that we're most often engaged in by our clients. And we say this, through sustained relationships, we, and then we have three bullet points. We say we identify issues through assessments. We guide organizations through transition, which is the area about which we just spoke. And the third area is that we develop leaders through coaching and accountability. And of course, our business model for this is one of sustained relationships, relationships that exist over time. Most of our arrangements are for a year and the large majority of them for multiple years, which of course is a great privilege for us to walk through the organizational life cycle and in many cases, family life cycle of businesses and families. So many times for us, the great starting point is to do an assessment of the organization and its leadership and management capabilities. What do you find compelling, Daryl, about that process?
From my perspective, having been involved in a great number of assessments, it's been a real privilege to, first of all, learn about that organization. Interestingly, as you can imagine, periodically, I should say, that sometimes we're questioning, you know, what's the value of an assessment? We sort of know ourselves. And it's interesting, as we get into that process, we learn about the organization, and in reality, they learn
absolutely
a whole lot more.
Absolutely.
Invariably, when we do an assessment report, the vested individuals around the table are nodding their heads up and down, and they're saying, now we understand
why
we went through the assessment. Absolutely.
Yeah, because obviously people that work within a firm do know a great deal about the firm, but our ability, I think, to ask thought-provoking questions that allow them to articulate things that inside of themselves they know, but they may not have had a chance to verbalize. And once they do, it opens new windows of understanding, not only on what already exists in that firm, but what could exist in that firm. And so we look at it as a bit of a forest for the trees sort of mentality, where we can kind of hover above all that and put the pieces of the puzzle together and say, right now, this is what your organization looks like. One of my favorite quotes comes from Max Dupree, and you've heard me say it fairly often. The first job of a leader is to define reality. And that's the way we often approach an invitation to get involved in a new client's business, is to say, hey, let's define reality first. And let's all agree on what that looks like. And fundamentally, let's agree on what's good and worthy about it.
Well, and two, as we go through that process, we begin to put some form to some of the things that perhaps as individuals or even organizations, they've not really been able to grapple with, or it's residing out there. And how do we really begin to not box it in, but put form to it so we can begin to address it and move forward?
And then what comes out of that, obviously, is a series of recommendations that we have about moving the organization forward. And we are fully aware when we make that series of recommendations that they can't all be implemented at once, that very few of those recommendations represent an event, something that can be over in an hour or a day, and that most of them are very incremental in nature. And what we're really looking for is a commitment toward organizational movement, organizational improvement. And it often has to do with business processes, sometimes has to do with relationships, it sometimes has to do with business development and profitability. And in many cases, perhaps most often, it simply has to do with what we like to refer to as culture or organizational quality of life. We know we've got something good here, but we also know it can be better, and we want it to be. And we just ask the question, given what we've told you here in the assessment, given our picture of reality here, are you willing to take the next step? And we can tell you, it's going to take some energy. It's going to take some commitment.
Yeah. Well, it's a real joy, obviously, for each one of us. I know as we have opportunities to talk about really helping organizations that in many cases are good, but they know that there's so much out there.
Yeah.
And how do we go about getting that? And how do we go about experiencing the things that we want to experience and not to be frustrated? I remember a great quote that somebody once said, that we judge ourselves by our intentions. Others judge us by our behaviors.
Oh, wow, that's a scary one, isn't it?
Well, it is, but it's this powerful statement in terms of thinking, how do we turn those intentions that many of us, most of us have, into behaviors that not only impact us and impact our leadership teams, but impact the organization as a whole, not just for today, but for the future as well.
Daryl, that quote you just made, and I think it actually comes from you, that we judge ourselves by our intentions, but others judge ourselves by behavior. That just feels so challenging to me, because we want to become better people. We want to become less selfish. We want to become more other-centered. I just don't meet too many people that don't have that desire. So many of the people that we meet, they want to do right by other people. They want to invest more in relationships and receive more back from relationships, but boy, there can be a wide gap between intention and behavior someday. Sometimes I often say to people, if I were forced to watch a videotape, a DVD of my behavior just for one full day, I am certain that I would be horrified. But my intentions are good. I wake up and declare my intentions to myself and to God in the morning, and I ask for his help, and I intend to do well. And yet I know I fall short many times, and it's just an incremental deal. What's one way we can improve organizational quality of life today? What's one way I can become a better leader today? What's one way I can offer an additional piece of value to an employee, an additional piece of the value proposition to a customer today? And if we just make that one step, and often it's two steps forward, one step back, mm-hmm. that's sort of the way organizational life, personal growth works. It can still be a great value equation there to walk through organizations in that way.
And we have the privilege, as we were talking about the assessments earlier, invariably at the end of that assessment, one of the questions that you hear is, how can you help us? How can I implement the kinds of things that you were talking about? And that's then where many of those clients ask us, would you come alongside to help us implement those things, both on a personal level and on an organizational level? And it's not about doing everything. We'll often say that if everything is important, nothing is important. And we take a look at that and we begin to say, okay, well, what is it about this year, this day, this month that we want to accomplish? Just one thing that obviously at a leadership level has exponential impact on the organization. If we can do this one thing, how will that impact the organization?
What a wonderful question to wrestle with, because where to start is such an important question.
Mm-hmm.
And it always starts with a degree of commitment. But as we have that conversation, so many of these folks that we work with are already committed to many, many good things. And the question is, do they have the fortitude to handle one more?
Yeah.
And let's bite off one more and see how we do with it. See if we can make intention and behavior equal each other.
Yeah.
And if we can, and it becomes a habit and it brings value, let's talk about the next one.
Mm-hmm.
Darryl, just tell us a little bit about your family. Tell us a little bit about things that are important to you in addition to your work at North Group.
Well, my wife and I, Janet, have been married for 23 years.
Ah, congratulations.
Yeah, it's been wonderful. And my wife and I are very, very different from each other.
I can attest to that. Yeah.
We always laugh about it, but it makes for a wonderful relationship.
And she's just real talkative marriage. And you're very reticent to engage in conversation.
I think that's exactly how it was supposed to be. That's not how it's turned out. But no, my wife is wonderful. She's a great partner. We have three children. Our oldest is a daughter who will be 20 here shortly, and she's in school in West Tennessee. And
nice short jaunt for you to go and pick her up, right?
My children are looking to move out of state when they graduate from high school.
Nice little 14-hour drive.
So we have Melissa, who's our oldest in college, and then we have two sons, David, who is a junior, and Eric, who is a freshman at Warwick High School.
Busy stage of life.
It is. You know, interestingly, we always said that we thought as the kids got older that our time would be less with them. It's actually more, not necessarily more intensive, but the time we spend is more significant with them in terms of conversations about the future and about where they're headed and values and those kinds of things, which is great.
And Darryl, you and I happen to live in the same town, so we have the privilege of not only being linked in business, but also our sons are very good friends and often play ball together and get together, so that's a great thing as well. Hey, thanks so much for being on here today. I know that Dennis joins me in just being thrilled about you coming alongside us as a partner. And I also know for a fact that Cheryl and Joan and Lois and Bev feel great about having you join the leadership of our firm. And of course, we operate our firm as peers. So the fact that you became a partner is a material transaction and it is important. But in the life of the way we make decisions at North Group, it really doesn't change a whole lot, does it?
Not at all.
And I hope it'll be that way for you. That's my commitment to you, and our commitment to our clients is to continue to offer them value through identifying issues through assessments, through guiding organizations through transition, about which we talked extensively today. And we hope to come alongside our clients and help them develop leaders through coaching and accountability to pyramid the value of those firms and their quality of life and their culture into the future for their employees, for their clients, and for themselves. And Darryl, thanks for the contribution you've made to the growth and success of North Group Consultants over the last 5 years. And I look forward to 20 more good years of working together.
Absolutely.
Thanks a lot for listening, everybody. Have a wonderful day.
North Group Consultants continues to provide direction for your future through sustained relationships. As Roger mentioned, we identify issues by conducting assessments, provide assistance during organizational transitions, and develop leaders through coaching and accountability. As always, thank you for listening to Straightforward.